You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 8. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his intervention and government. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, or entreat, if you will, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure healthy teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, shall turn away their ears from the full truth, and should be turned unto myths. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be poured out, the time of my being turned loose from above has arrived. I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all of them that having loved his divine intervention. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Father God, again, for your faithfulness and the privilege that we have afresh here to come aside from the ordinary things of life, and for this little while now to be ministered to as the Spirit of God guides us into all truth. May be pleased now to sanctify us to your purpose, as you cleanse us and energize us of himself. We'd ask you to rebuke the evil one as you honor your great Son, as you build us all up in the most holy faith. Thank you for attending to these things, because we ask these graces here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen. This is a very solemn part of Scripture, and one that needs to be thought out soberly, and keep in mind these are the last words that God has rendered to us from heaven through the Apostle Paul. And what was true as he sent this epistle to his son in the faith, Timothy, is also true for us. It's a charge from the very throne room itself. Everyone that professes the name of Christ. And that's a sober thing to reflect upon. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. I can't use words to emphasize anything any stronger than what it says. That's a charge from the very throne room of God itself. Because he shall judge those that are living and those that are dead at his divine intervention, the time when he comes to intervene. And he'll do this with his holy government. That's what the word kingdom means. In the light of this, we're told that we're to preach the word, not our opinions. And I was interested this morning in the class in the Sunday school. It was brought up about the different opinions about people arrive at. But beloved, God has given us the guidelines in the book itself. He human opinions arrive because, as the scriptures go on to say, we have itching ears. We like to listen to people who say things that we agree with. But you see, God has set you aside as a unique creature. It will not suffice to listen to opinions of other men and use that as authoritative, even though it tickles your ears. He has given us certain internal laws of the Scripture itself. We had a few of them printed up for you out front here. You need to dwell upon these laws and let it become a part of your personal personality so that the Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. You will stand one day before God, not based upon what Max said or what somebody else said or what your opinion is, but what thus saith the Lord. He's given you the tools, and He has commanded you to study to show yourself approved in His sight. And if you come with that attitude of heart, not to establish what you already know, then God is faithful to open your eyes. And this is the difficulty. Men do not do this, because it means sometimes to stand alone. And nobody likes to be alone. It's a lonesome old place. I know, not because somebody told me that, but because I've been there. But let me tell you this, and I had to refer to myself in order to get this point across. When I first came into the right division as I see it today, and as the Lord has energized me many, many times in this, I only found one man in Oklahoma City that even understood what I was talking about. And he was a blind man. Believe it or not, it was a lonesome old road. And the people I had to associate with in the Christian world, they were so kind to me, they said, well, you can continue to be here and minister, but you must not promote these positions. It was a kind way of saying, would you please leave? And I did leave. You see, it's a hard thing, beloved, to come out and stand alone. But this is the charge of God. It's not Max giving you a charge, beloved. This is the last word from heaven itself. It's the last book that ever came from the pen of Paul. It's that which completes the Word of God. And I charge you. This is God talking, not me. I charge you before God and Lord Jesus Christ. See? It's a charge from Him, not from me. Preach the Word. And Paul could say, honestly, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Because he did. He preached the Word. It cost him everything. You know, the grace of God, His salvation is all for free. But if you're going to be a responsible person to that grace, it'll cost you everything you got. Make up your mind to that. It's all free. You see, this is what Jesus meant when He said, the truth shall make you free. A free man can stand on his own two feet as an individual. He doesn't have to have the collective hold with him. He can be strong. This has been proven over and over again. I repeat, night. The greatest piece of literature we have today addressed to us was written from a prison where a man was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was not a prisoner, although he was in the jail. And it's ironic and I've said this before too, that the second largest piece of literature as to has been printed under the heavens was also written from a jail, Pilgrim's Progress. A man who for 16 years refused to take his liberty outside those walls because he would not compromise what he knew to be the truth. How many of us put in a position like that? Think about that. To walk out a free man from in incarceration, and because you knew that it was not the thing to do, to set the throne, you refused to come out. As a result of that 16 years of work, we have Pilgrim's Progress. Every American ought to read that book. It's a wonderful piece of literature, and it's the second largest seller that's ever come from the pen of man. The Bible only has outsold it. They've forgotten it, but you can still buy it in the paperback down at the paperback store if you want to, right to this day. I tell you that because it illustrates so realistically what it means to be faithful to the Word and to be confident. And you cannot be confident unless you have been obedient yourself. There is no man has a right to speak with authority unless he's under the authority of this book, rightly divided. And that means, beloved, that you adhere to the internal laws itself. You don't have a right. I don't have a right. Nobody has a right. The only right we have is an inalienable right from God, that's all. And that all comes through this. This is why the truth makes you a free man. We need to learn this. Now, there's two things that are so obvious it hardly needs to be repeated, but just in case. We have an indebtedness as a matter of expression of our love to be faithful in the ministry of reconciliation. This is not to God's people now, this is to the world. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 5, if you'll turn there for just a second. We have a ministry to the world and we have a ministry to God's people. We need to keep a balance in these things. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, 19, 20, 21. Here is your ministry toward the lost, beloved. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us this word of reconciliation. Now then, we are an ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the ministry we have to those outside the fold. Why can we say that? For he hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And want to know why they need to be reconciled? That verse tells you why. You see, that's simple. It don't have to be a theologian to understand that. That's the message we have to the man outside the fold. This is a very personal message. If you have a loved one, you have a friend, or somebody who you can even talk to about the things of God, this is where you need to take him. Notice again, we are ministers of reconciliation. It's given to us, this ministry of reconciliation. And here's what it is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. so that every man, woman, and child, make no difference who he is, that reconciliation has been made. The only thing that will nullify it is for him to reject it. It's already done. It don't have to be done. It's done. If he rejects it, that's his problem. But you need to make it clear and simple and show him that God condescended in the person of Christ to bear all the sins of mankind so that the reconciliation has been made, completed. And in turn, God says, you do that, I'll clothe you with all the righteousness of my great Son. That's a pretty good bargain. And it's all for free. It won't cost you nothing. It's the upkeep that makes it expensive. But it is for free. I don't think I need to dwell on that any longer, because if you're a saint here this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know whether you're doing that or not. You don't have to answer to me. But one day, there'll be a crown of righteousness. You see, the righteousness that God imputes to us is free. But the righteousness for doing the right thing is a reward. See? That's extra and above. You're complete in Christ. You have all the glory of Him. You have His perfection as far as righteousness to stand in God's presence. But if you do the right thing, in other words, it's all free. The upkeep, I say, is where the expense is, you see. If you do the right thing then and carry out the expense that it costs you, then it costs you everything. Then there's a great reward for that. A crown. And it'll be far beyond your wildest dreams. That's what Paul says in 2 Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. That in the ages to come, he has one great big gracious surprise after another. And I'll tell you truthfully, and I've said this before, if he can surprise me, I guarantee you, I've got a wild imagination. See? And he tells me he's going to. I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Now, that's the ministry as far as the man outside the fold. But we have another obligation. We're to make all of God's people, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. But to make all of God's people. The word men is in italics, you'll notice. And this epistle is addressed to God's people, not to all mankind. We're to make all of God's people see what is the dispensation of the mystery. Some of you will have it translated fellowship. But the best text is the word dispensation, or the way of administration, which from the beginning of the ages was hid in God, not hid in Christ. Not hid in the Word, but hid in God. It is not the subject matter of anything that ever preceded the prison letters. So don't try to read other things into it. It's not there. Even though it may be similar, it may look like it. It's not the same thing. And this is a private mail for God's people today. It's how they can know what God wants. And the first step toward walking worthy of that calling is in chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And there's 7 things recorded there. We preached on that. I'm not going to go into that this morning. Study it on your own. There's 7 distinct points that enable you with God's people, those who really want to know the truth. It will give you a common bond of the Spirit of God. It does not mean you'll agree in all doctrinal points, but you will agree on those 7 points that will enable to have a unity of the Spirit. See? This is a workman that's trying, by the grace of God, to be approved in God's sight. You understand? One of the things we have to overcome in this struggle, and it is a struggle, that's what Paul said. And he says, I fought a good fight. I've struggled a good struggle. That's exactly what he said. It is a struggle. Well, you have all so many things that merge in upon your life. It is a struggle. It's a fight from morning till evening, all the way. You dare not let your guard down. It's there all the time. The battle is on. The fight is on. That old song, the fight is on. Oh, you remember that? That's a good one. And it is. A lot of people don't know they're in the warfare, but they are. A lot of them getting the hell beat out of them, too, I'll tell you. They really are. See? And this is the reason why. They don't know that. But we are in a warfare. You remember that. But our leaders never lost a battle. It ain't about to now. We are to walk worthy of a calling. And we've been called to the highest place. We've been raised and seated together in the far above heavens. We've been made sons of God, placed as sons in the family. Not servants, but sons. We may serve as a servant, but we're still sons. God cannot honor or bestow any higher privilege than that. He has exalted you to the very throne room where his son is seated at his right hand. And that's your true citizenship. Next week we're going to be dealing with our dual citizenship. But we have our true citizenship existing even now in the heavens, out from whence we await. Take the one. But in any case, we do have an obligation to God's people to open their eyes. Rather, the Holy Spirit can use us to open their eyes to the fact that God has something for their faith obedience today. And this has been the most neglected ministry in all the Bible. I can say that without fear of contradiction, because it's a reality. The average saint knows very little about any such thing. If you talk to anybody, thinks you're talking about something that's mysterious. See, it's not. It's a secret that God hid in his heart, reserved, and revealed to his beloved today. And we need to know that. And it's a message that we have failed to do. See. It won't make you win. It won't win friends and influence people, but it sure will cause God's people to rejoice once they see it. Because it's more or less the icing on the cake. It's that part of truth enables you to know that you are complete in Christ. Period. It's that truth that will enable you to know that to add anything to the efficacy of the work of Christ is blasphemy. And you tell the saint today that the things he's doing apart from the finished work of Christ that's not energized from above is blasphemy, he wants to throw you out. See, that's why we need to know, you see, that we don't have to hitch congregate teachers with because we've got itching ears to hear something that we already know. We need to be students before God, showing ourselves approved in his sight. I know the human rationale in this matter. Well, if I do that, I won't have time for anything else. That's not true. That's not true at all. Now, I do have an advantage. Let me put that in there. I know I have a luxury that most of you don't have, to spend time, because I don't have a lot of other obligations. But nevertheless, to the man who desires to know. It's his. Let me give you an illustration of that. When I went out to Georgia to go to school, I had come in. My wife and I went out there. They didn't have a place for us to stay. The dormitory they had was full. So Dr. Hull took me into his home. I lived with him for 3 weeks. He and his wife. He was the president of the school. Before they had a place for me to stay. This man was a medical doctor. And you could set your clock by what he did. At 5 a.m., I get this, he was 76 years old at that time. He got up at 5 a.m. He went to his study, which is just off his bedroom. He spent 2 hours in that study. At 7 o'clock, his wife had his breakfast ready. He had breakfast with his wife and left the house at 8 o'clock. He went straight to the school and tended to those things that needed to be done in the way of paperwork until 9 o'clock. He left at 9 o'clock and went straight to his office, which was only 2 blocks from the school, to set up the appointments for that afternoon when he would be seeing patients. He came back to the school at 11 o'clock and conducted an hour class. We had other teachers, of course, but he only had that 1 hour in the daytime where he taught. Came back from 11 to 12 and taught an hour. From 12 to 1 o'clock, he went to dinner, came back to school at 1 o'clock, and from 1 to 2 o'clock, he was open for anybody wanted to come in and talk to him about any problems or anything else in school. At 2 o'clock, he left for his doctor's office, and from 2 until 6 o'clock, he made four hours appointments for his patients. He left there and went to his home after that, had dinner, came back to school at 8 o'clock, taught a class from 8 to 9, went home and went to bed at 10 o'clock. I know because I watched the guy, I couldn't believe it. You see? And those of you who have my book on Acts, you notice in the forefront there? I dedicated that man. I've never met a man like him. He was so organized, and yet he was, you'd never know it, he was relaxed all the time. He never guessed about anything. He just did it. I never heard him complain. I mean it. I've never seen a man like that in my life. Well, I came here to talk about Dr. Hull. But anyway, he was a man that was in season, out of season. He reproved, he rebuked, he entreated with long suffering. And that word sound is healthy. He was a healthy teacher. He wasn't it. He didn't teach anything. He did not look around to have people come in, teach your ear, although he gave you every opportunity to hear everything you wanted to. We had people come in there and speak, stay with us 2-3 weeks at a time, so that you'd hear every side of it. But always in the context that he insisted upon this, of Scripture. We're to do our work here, remembering. And we looked at 2 Corinthians 5 as to the lost. And then, of course, we looked at what is necessary for the saint. And Paul could say all this, not only with great emphasis, because he says, as I'm writing this to you, I'm writing this to let you know, this is the last word from heaven. Because the mystery is to give and to complete the word of God, and I'm now ready to be poured out like a drink offering. The time for my being turned loose from above has come. He goes on to say, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. The struggles are at the end, I've completed in the race. And there awaits me, notice, a crown of righteousness. I did the right thing. That's all he's saying. And that awaits me at that time of his divine intervention at the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will give an account of our stewardship there. You'll never appear before any other judgment seat, but that's the one seat you and I will appear at. I think that most of you understand what the judgment seat of Christ is, but just in case somebody hasn't heard it, for your benefit, the word judgment there is the Greek word bema. The bema seat was a place where, keep in mind, Paul was raised as a young man in the Greek culture. He knew the Greek games well. He used them to illustrate great truths. Nothing is ever wasted. And in the Greek games, running was the big thing. Not football, but running. Every runner had a judge. He had a course set in the race. The purpose of the judge, as he sat in his seat, was to watch the race in the great oval that they ran in. And when the runner had finished his course, he came before the bema seat, the judgment seat. And the judge said one of two things to him. Dikamos, qualified, or adikamos, disqualified. Paul said, I run a good race. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I stayed all the way. Now, how does that mean to you? It means this, beloved. In the course of running, walking worthy, put it in any context words you like, the way that you handle the word, whether to the lost or to the saved, these will be the things that will count there. Because by your words, you shall be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. You see what a awesome thing it is to take upon yourself the authority to speak for God. That's why you need to be obedient to the internal laws of Scripture itself. So that when you speak, you do not express your opinion. You may agree with that, but you are speaking for God when you speak. And Paul said, I charge you before God that you speak the word. See, that's what you speak. Instant energy, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, entreat with long suffering. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, looking for his approval. And that's one thing that nobody but you will answer on that basis one day. I must do the same thing. If I tell you something wrong here, God's going to call me to account. Make no mistake about that. You see, it's a very sobering thing. You're free. God has allowed you freedom. You can say what you want to. You're a free man. But be sure what you say. Because you will one day pay the price or receive the reward one day. I like that. Paul said, now, one of the ways you can know how you're traveling, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day. But I don't want you to think it's just for me. It's for every one of God's people. And that where it says love is appearing, as some of your Bibles will say, it isn't. That's true, but it isn't true. If you can get the point, what it really says is, having loved, it's a continuous energy in your life, looking forward to that time of His intervention when you shall see Him as He is. There's the driving force. If that's the force, then you're on the right road. It isn't a dreading to meet that day, but a day that you look forward to with everything of your being that's energized from above. See, God gives you the stoplights so that you can see for yourself. And always be true to yourself. And let me tell you, that may sound simple, but it isn't. The fact that a little statement in there, heaping to themselves, having itching ears. Do you ever have itching ears? You want to have people say everything and just agree with what you say? What do you want that for? You want to be fortified by their opinion, that's why. But if you're fortified by the Word, you don't have to have their opinion. It's nice to have it, but that's what it means to be free. Well, do you really, honestly, earnestly desire to, for that day to come when you shall stand before Him, when He intervenes on your behalf to take you there under His government, to stand there and hear Him say, "Dikamos, Adikamos"? What do you want to hear?
Dikamos.
Amen. Father, thank You for the Word. Help us to retain this so that next Sunday, as we begin to continue on this, to see our priorities in this life, whether the priority for our citizenship here or the priority for our citizenship yonder in the heavens, that we may be found faithful in both counts. Thank You, Lord, for attending to that we need for these ends, Father, and these graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.